Turn to 1 Thessalonians, starting chapter 4, and we'll pray and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We pray for our drama kids as they're on their trip. Pray that you give them traveling mercies, Lord, they'd be safe on the way there and the way back. They'd have fun while they're there and they do well in their performances. Lord, I thank you that no matter what on earth, we'll still go on, Lord. I thank you for all these students who showed up here today. I pray that they would learn something from this passage, Lord, that they would not be worried about what's going to happen, Lord. But you would give them peace. And I just thank you for all that. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Alright. So 1 Thessalonians 4. Alright. We're going to start in verse 13. 4:13 is where it starts. This is all talking about coming of the Lord. Pittman 998. Alright. So starting 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. He's saying we don't want you to be ignorant. This is very important. So he's just prefacing it by saying that. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Two things there. Falling asleep means, obviously, the people who have died. So don't want you to worry about those people. And not to grieve like those who have no hope, because we have hope in Jesus, obviously. So we don't have anything really to worry about. Then in going to 14 now. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. So they're going to come back. When the Lord returns and after where He sets up His paradise on earth, then they're going to be here. So don't worry that they're not going to be here. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. What this is saying here is that when He comes back and the rapture happens, He's not going to call us up first. He's actually going to raise the dead up first. And then, as we'll see later, He'll raise us up. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So basically what's going to happen is the Lord is going to come. He's going to come back. He's going to come down to the earth. There's going to be a shout from heaven. Not really sure what this shout's going to be. Whether it could be Jesus Himself or it could be an archangel. Then there's the voice of an archangel, and there's several different theories about what that could be. Some people believe it could be an assembling command for the Old Testament saints. Some believe it could be a call to revive Israel, to bring it back to being a nation. And some believe it could be summoned for a military escort that would actually accompany Jesus and us back to heaven. Then there's a trumpet. That's considered to be the calling of the saints. And let's see. And this trumpet is the same as one in 1 Corinthians 15:52. Would somebody want to look that up? 1 Corinthians 15:52. Whoever gets it first, if you'd like to read it, go for it.
In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, the perishable will be changed.
Yeah, so that's the same trumpet there. It's not talking about anything different. As you can see, it's the same throughout Scripture that it's going to call and raise up the dead. All right, then we'll go on. In verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet up together with them, to meet up with the Lord in the air, and so be with them in the Lord forever. A lot of people, that's where they get the idea that God will raise up the dead during the rapture, and then we'll have the tribulation, and then He'll come back and get us later. But the best way I can figure out to explain it is it's kind of like if your ship is sinking. You know, they say women and children first. Everybody's going at the same relative time, but it just matters who goes first. Women and children will get off, then the men will get off. It's not a matter of the boat sinks twice. The Lord's only going to come back once. So this is a very good passage for pre-trib, believing that we will be taken up before the tribulation. And I believe that's what it says. The dead will rise, and then after they rise, then we will be taken up right after, shortly after that. Good morning. And another really interesting thing here is that we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The air is considered to be the devil, Satan's dominion. So it's kind of an act of defiance, the fact that we're actually going to be called up into the air, and that's where we're going to meet with God. We're kind of just showing the devil that he really doesn't have anything over us, or the Lord really, because he's the one that saves us. But we're meeting in his own territory together, so that's kind of neat. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is not something that we need to be worried about. He's saying, encourage each other. And I really think that that's another good indication of a pre-trib process. Because obviously we have joy knowing that he's going to come back. But I don't know if he'd encourage people about the end times or they're going to have to go through the tribulation. So he's saying, encourage each other. So, you know, I really think he's going to come back before the tribulation, and that's something that we should be looking forward to. Not the fact that we're going to have to go through all this, but the fact that we're going to get called up before all this happens and that we will be okay. All right, now into 15. Now, brothers, about times and dates which we do not need to write, for you know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. We don't know the exact time, but we know we can get kind of an idea. Just like when a woman is pregnant, she has labor pains, and she can know that it's getting close. We won't know an exact date, but you can figure out a pretty close time. Another thing it says here, it says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. This can apply to just our Christian walks today. We don't need to just be sitting here thinking, all right, everything's good, I'm safe, I don't really have any problems, everything's going pretty well. You never need to be content with your situation with Christ. You always need to be moving forward, trying to get closer to Him, and trying to make it better. Let's see. And somebody look up 1 Corinthians 10:12. Somebody want to read that one for us? 1 Corinthians 10:12, anybody? Yeah. Yep.
So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall.
Right. Again, that goes along with that same passage of the peace and safety. If you're sitting here thinking everything's going fine, take heed lest you fall, because you're not doing as well as you think that you are. So then back to verse 5. Let's see. But you brothers are not in darkness, verse 4. But you brothers are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. All throughout Scripture, the light represents Jesus and darkness represents the devil. So what he's saying here is that we are all followers of Christ. We belong to Jesus. So we should be looking for this and ready for it because we are of Him. And then in verse 6, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. We need to be watching out for it. I don't remember, we had that snow day just a couple days ago, and you know, the night before that as well, we thought we were going to get out of school. Everybody's like, oh, okay, well, it's supposed to ice over tonight, so hopefully we'll get out tomorrow. We were alert and we were looking for it and waiting for it. It didn't end up happening that day, but then the next night, some of us were alert. Some of us had just given up because we thought, we got our feelings crushed in the morning, but some of us were still alert and looking like, okay, I hope we get a snow day tomorrow. We're alert, we're looking, you know, as soon as we wake up, we check the news and whatever. We need to be the same thing, because eventually he will come back, and we do need to be alert on that day. If we're not prepared, then it's not going to be good. Okay, and then verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And then verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I think this is another really good verse here to talk about a pre-trib thought, because he's saying that we are not here to suffer the wrath of God. While we're going to face struggles in this world, you know, day to day, it's going to be a problem. You know, people are going to persecute us, and I really think it's going to get a lot worse in the days to come. But we're not here to take the wrath of God, because through Jesus we have been saved from His wrath. Jesus took our wrath for us from God. So again, if we were to go through the tribulation is a time of Him pouring His wrath down out on the world. So we would be experiencing His wrath, which it clearly says we're not going to. I mean, does that make sense? So I think that's another good point there, that we should be taking it before that. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Again, he's just saying not to worry. Actually, I'll tell you what. Look up some other verses on the wrath. We'll go to Romans 8:1. Everybody flip there. All right, when somebody gets there, if you just read that. Romans 8:1.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. There's no wrath for us because Jesus saved us. And then if you go to 1 John 4:17 and 18. Somebody like to read that one? Somebody with the Bible?
In this way, love is made completely among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like men. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
So again, just showing that we need to be almost excited for the day of judgment. I mean, we obviously need to think about those who are going to be left behind, and now we need to try and save as many of those people as possible so that when that day comes, they will go with us. But we as believers have nothing to fear about the day of judgment. A lot of people think, oh no, I'm worried what's going to happen. Well, if you're truly walking with Christ as you should, you have nothing to fear because you belong to Him. And that day will be one of the greatest days ever, because we will be taken up from this earth where everything is going poorly, and we will be with Him. It will be perfect. I mean, that's what we're living this life for. We're living this life for Him so that we can see Him. So that's just basically what that is. Obviously, I went a little bit quicker than Sean does because I can't get off on rants. But are there any questions y'all have about any of this?
When you say day, is that the day we get taken up, or the day when He confronts us about all our sins? Or is that the same day?
It's really complicated. Okay. But what I believe is that, what I think is, we will be taken up. The dead will rise first, and then we will rise right after them. Not separately, but then there will be the tribulation. So we do not need to worry about the day when the Lord comes back to take us up. Because obviously He's taking us up, and it's just going to be good. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's see, they're in the ground right now. Like, this again gets complicated, but basically they're going to be from what I understand, they're going to be brought up in their glorified bodies. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see that too. He'll come back and all the dead will be raised and they'll be in their glorified bodies and they will go up and meet with Him. I think that'll be pretty darn cool to see myself. But, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, when you say glorified bodies, does that mean like old people won't be taken up like the dirt?
In their new bodies. The bodies are going to get in heaven. So ones that are not going to break or wear down like ours. More questions? You can ask me anything. All right, well, that's pretty much all I got. It's just kind of a short unearth, but I hope y'all got something out of it. I'll tell you what, we'll pray, and then eat the rest of the donuts, and we'll go. Lord, I thank you for this day very much. I pray that we would all take this to heart, Lord, that we would not be worried, but that we'd be looking for it, that we'd be alert, and that we would be ready, Lord. I pray that if anyone in here is not ready, that they would realize that there is a need for your love, Lord, for your forgiveness. I pray that they would decide today, or as soon as possible, Lord, that they would no longer want the things of this world, but that they would want you, that they would not want to fear the coming judgment, Lord, but that they would be looking forward to it and happy that you're coming, that we can be with you, Lord. I pray that anybody who's facing struggles, Lord, that you would help them with them. Again, I just thank you for this morning, and I thank you for all these students who come here. In your son's name, I pray. Amen.